Christ. Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2, beginning with the 25th verse. This is our Gospel for today, this first Sunday after Christmas. Dear friends in Christ, well, Christmas is over. God sent His Son. Jesus took on flesh and lived among us. He is born of a virgin conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was born in a stable and people came and saw Him. The angels appeared in the sky. Christmas is over. The children were dressed up. They sang some songs. They recited Luke 2 for us and told us a Christmas story. And now Christmas is over. It's time to move on to the next thing. That's what the world has done. Anyway, all the presents were bought, the parties were attended, friends and family were visited, and now Christmas is over. It's time to move on to something else. It's the way things go. People's minds have changed over, switched over to something else, like end-of-the-year stories or year-end reviews. Instead of planning their Christmas celebration, now they are planning on how they're going to welcome in the new year. But Christmas is not over. Not yet, anyway. It is the fourth day of Christmas out of the 12 days of the Christmas season. We're still right in the middle of Christmas. So we're not leaving behind Christmas yet. As we think about the two great miracles, or two of the great miracles of Christmas. The first is pretty easy to determine. The first is that God sent His Son into the world, that God took on flesh and lived among us for a while. The second, the other great miracle of Christmas, is that you believe it. That this gospel, this miracle of God becoming flesh was revealed to you through the gospel. And so we want to make use of the gospel and we want to share that gospel. By the time of our text for this morning, it had been 40 days since Jesus was born. The time of purification for Mary, which was required by the law of 40 days after the birth of a boy, was over. So they went, Mary and Joseph, to the temple to offer a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to God and to consecrate, to dedicate their firstborn son, Jesus, to the Lord, as was commanded by the law of Moses. There's an old man in the temple that day by the name of Simeon. He had been given a special revelation by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he saw the promised Messiah, until he saw the Savior of the world. And the Spirit led him to go to the temple that day, and when he saw Mary Joseph with the baby Jesus, the Spirit led him to recognize that baby as the promised Messiah, the Savior of the entire world. So he took the baby into his arms and then he sang a song, a song that we all know well. We sing it at least twice a month after we receive the Lord's Supper. The main theme, or the central part of that song, is "My eyes have seen your salvation." God, Simeon offered up a praise of thanksgiving to God because God had shown him salvation. God had shown him the promised Messiah, the one who would save the whole world from their sins through his suffering and death on the cross. By giving us his perfect life, by rising from the dead. And seeing Christ, Simeon saw how Jesus saves us. And Simeon had done nothing to receive this special revelation from God. He didn't deserve it more than anyone else, and yet God in His grace revealed this to Simeon. Have you ever stopped and thought about what you believe? And how ridiculous it all seems. Let me just take the Christmas story for a while. That prophets from thousands of years ago prophesied about this promised Messiah, and it came true in Jesus. That the Holy Spirit conceived a child in a virgin, and that virgin gave birth to a child, and when that child was born, angels appeared in the sky and talked to shepherds, and a star magically appeared over the place where he was born. That a king or a ruler of the people decided to kill all these innocent babies, and yet one baby escaped, the one baby who needed to escape. That baby would grow up and be completely innocent and yet be sentenced to death. But he would go there willingly because he could save us from our sins, and then he would rise from the dead 3 days after he died. All the miracles that boy performed, all the amazing things he knew and did and said. When you think about all of that, it seems ridiculous. It doesn't make sense. And yet, you believe it. You believe everything that is said in the Christmas story, everything that is written on the pages of the Bible. And you wouldn't believe it by nature. By nature, you're an enemy of God. By nature, you don't know God, and you don't want to know God. You don't know what He has done or who He is. By nature, when we hear God's word, by nature, we reject it as a mere story, a fable, impossible in every direction. Paul describes our relationship to God's word at our birth in 1 Corinthians. He says, "The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned." By nature, we can't understand God's word, and we reject it because it's nothing but foolishness. And yet, you believe. How? Why? Because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Because God has revealed the truth to you through His gospel. As Jesus pointed out, no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. You know and believe the Christmas story, the Christmas miracles. You know and believe God's word because God chose you to have the gospel revealed to you. So you realize it's not ridiculous, it's not foolishness, but the gospel is the message that brings salvation to the ends of the world. The gospel and the power of God, more powerful than us and our foolishness. As Paul pointed out, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. That is the second great miracle of Christmas. You believe. We always seem to pass over that part, but it's so important, don't downplay it, for it is faith that receives the blessings that the Christ child would win for us. Without faith, we won't receive the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And you don't deserve to have faith. You haven't done anything special to have God reveal to you His plan of salvation, and yet God, in His love and His mercy and His grace, decided to reveal to you the fulfillment of the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ. Just as he did to Simeon. Well, not just as he did to Simeon. Remember that Simeon was given a special revelation from the Holy Spirit. Somehow, in some way, the Holy Spirit told him directly of who Jesus is. You don't have a special personal revelation from the Holy Spirit, but you don't need one. Because the Holy Spirit has already revealed His Word to you. Everything you need to know has already been revealed to you through His Holy Word. His Word is written down in the Bible. As John points out in chapter 20 of his Gospel, the Bible contains all we need to know for forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. These words are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. It is through the Word of God that He reveals Himself to us. And it is through that Word alone that we find out about who Christ is and why He came down to this earth in order to save us. It's His Word. So then it should go without saying that we want to be in that Word. We want to know more about that Gospel. We want to know more about who God is, what He has done. We want to read and study His Word and get into it as much as we possibly can so that we can know more of His love and grace that He has upon us poor, miserable sinners. Since it is through His Word that He brings us to faith, that He keeps us in the one true faith, and we want to be in that Word at home and in church as often as we can. There was another old person, 84 to be exact, in the temple that day. In fact, she was in the temple every day. She lived there. Now, her husband had died many years before, so she had decided to dedicate her life to the Lord by living and working in the temple. She was a prophetess, Anna. Like Simeon, also given special revelations from the Holy Spirit. When she saw Joseph and Mary bring in the baby Jesus, it was revealed to her that Jesus was the promised Messiah, the Savior of the world. So she went up to the family and then she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who are looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. She told everyone who wanted to listen that Jesus was the one they had been waiting for. He would be the one who would redeem or buy back, pay the ransom price for our sins through His suffering and death on the cross. By the blood that He shed, He brings us back to God after He has paid the price for our sins and suffered through the eternal damnation that our sins deserve. And why did she go around telling others about Jesus? Well, because she knew who Jesus was, and others did not. It was revealed to her that Jesus was the Savior. She knew the truth, and others didn't. So she told them that they may know and believe in Jesus, and so then receive all the blessings that He won for them. Go back to Simeon, when he, after he got done singing his song, he blessed Mary and Joseph, and he said to Mary that Jesus would cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. Through faith, many, countless, will rise from the dead on the last day. That's part of the redemption that Anna mentioned. But for many, Christ is a stumbling block. Those who reject Him, those who don't believe in Him, will not rise. They'll trip and fall into hell. Even though countless of people have celebrated Christmas, they celebrated just a few days ago, many of them don't really know who Christ is. They celebrate Christmas without Christ. They celebrate Santa Claus and Rudolph and so on and so forth, but not Christ. It hasn't been revealed to them about Christ. They're still living in darkness. Now, some might have a sort of idea about who Christ is, but it's marred by the thoughts and opinions of man. They don't really know Christ. Those who don't know Christ will stumble and fall. But you don't want anyone to fall. You, like God, want all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So then you are like Anna, in a sense. No, of course, like not like Anna in the sense that you have been given a special revelation from the Holy Spirit, but you have the revelation of God's Word. And it has been revealed to you by the Holy Spirit through the Word, and you know and believe that Jesus is the fulfillment of the promised Messiah, the Savior of the entire world, and all who believe in Him will not perish but have eternal life. So what do you do? If you know the truth and you want other people to know the truth, well then, like Anna, you spread the Word. You share your faith. It has been revealed to you what has not been revealed to others, so that you tell whomever may listen that God's plan of salvation starts and ends in Christ Jesus. Bad timing, you might be thinking. You know, you should have talked about this last week. You know, for the world, Christmas is over. They no longer care about the Christ child. They have moved on to bigger and greater things. But people aren't going to stop dying because it's the week after Christmas. They aren't going to stop meeting their Maker. They're still sinners who need to hear about their Savior. It doesn't matter what time of year it is. Everyone still needs to hear the Gospel. And then what a better time to tell them about Christ our Savior when Christmas is still fresh in their mind. So we reveal the Gospel to them. We happen to share the Word with others that they might believe, that the Gospel might be revealed to them so that they can depart from this life in peace, in the peace of the forgiveness of sins that only the Christ child can bring. But you can't reach everybody. There are some people, many people we don't know, many people we can't reach individually. So we join together as a congregation, we join together as a synod so that we can reach as many people as we possibly can. If you can't reach someone to share the Gospel with them, then you support those who can reach them. You support them through your prayers, through your encouragements, through your offerings, so that the Gospel may be revealed to as many people as possible, shining that light to the Gentiles and the glory of God to the people of Israel, so that many more people might have the Gospel revealed to them, so that they may believe in something that seems so ridiculous and foolish. For most people, Christmas is over and Christ is pushed to the side for a while. But not for us. We don't push aside the Christmas story because Christmas is really only the beginning of God's plan of salvation. It has been revealed to you through the Gospel. So we make use of the Gospel whenever we can, and we share the Gospel with others so that God might reveal to them His Savior, our Savior, and so that they might believe the foolishness of God's grace. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.